Welcome to Season of Change, transforming your life through the power in the Word of God. I am your host, Evangelist Jeremiah Joseph. I have more, my friend here online on the platform with me, Matthew. Bro Matthew is from United States of America, but a missionary in Cambodia. He has been in Cambodia for the past 11 years now, and God helping him for the past 4 years, now, and God helping him is progressing and is working for God greatly there in Cambodia, moving the kingdom of God and bringing people soul, winning souls every day for Christ. Please, bro Matthew, can you please introduce yourself to all our listeners on this platform, all our brethren from all over the world watching us and listening to us on this platform? You're welcome.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Yes, I'm from a small town in Pennsylvania in the U.S. and grew up in a Christian home, accepted Christ at a young age, felt attracted to the same sex, and that was very confusing for me. I really hated myself for many years and prayed the Lord would take the temptation away. And when that temptation didn't go away, later in the teen years, I started to take steps toward that temptation to follow my deceitful heart. And started with pornography, then graduated to alcohol when I moved to a city where nobody knew me, and started to get into drugs and alcohol, and started acting on the fantasies, the things that I had seen in the pornography. And it began very fun in the bars and dancing and drinking, and maybe 5 or 6 years later, a friend committed suicide, another one overdosed. I was very, very addicted. And I was realizing that the lies of the world, the lies I had been told that I would be a supermodel someday and find the perfect man for me, things like that, were not coming true. That the gay life was a fantasy. It was a counterfeit of God's design. And I didn't want to believe that because I went so far, I was prideful. I wanted to just continue in my sin, but the Lord brought me to my knees in repentance, reminded me of end times judgment, that He's coming back to judge, and I knew I wasn't ready, I didn't have peace. So He brought me to my knees in repentance 11 years ago, praise the Lord, and gave my... Yeah, praise God. So, eventually called me out of banking to come over here, to Cambodia, where I am now, the other side of the world, to serve. And long story short, I'm primarily reaching out, witnessing to the LGBT, sharing what Jesus did for me, He can do for anyone, can do for them. And so in the U.S., it's very common today to be confused that my temptation, whatever I feel in my heart, is who I am, is my identity. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Of the glory of God.
And the heart is deceitful above all things. We are fallen creations. We cannot trust our heart, our feelings, as a valid source of truth. We must look to the Word of God, the absolute truth. Our Creator and Savior knows what's right and what's best for us. And so... we're required to repent, put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came to die on the cross for our sins and rose again. And we must change our path, start to follow the Lord Jesus Christ according to His word. And if we've repented and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes back in judgment, we'll be ready and we'll go to be with Him forever in heaven. Those who have not repented will go to hell and suffer eternal punishment. So that's the passion behind evangelism, to warn everyone of the coming judgment. Prepare our loved ones.
Thank you, bro Matthew. I will be asking you some few questions, though you've talked about how you got into the former life that you're in, and how Christ come, you have encountered, and Christ saved you 11 years ago. But I will be asking you some few questions, and gradually we'll be moving forward. I just wanted to tell me how many years or at what age did you run into this other fake life, the called fake life that you're living in the world, the deceitful life that you run into. How old are you that when you run into it?
When I'm 12 years old, right at puberty, when the boys start to like the girls, I like the boys. That's when the feelings started. And then I always felt shy, inadequate, like I'm not bold, I'm not masculine like the other boys. I don't want to play sports. I'm meek and gentle. I feel inferior. So I move toward the women, want to be close to girls, be friends with girls. And then the pornography and everything. But when I started to move into acting on the temptation, I was in my 20s. So maybe early 20s.
Okay. What about your parents then? Where are they, your dad, your mom? Do they have the knowledge of what you run into?
They knew that I was into alcohol. They knew I was, I moved to the city, almost 3 hours away from my small town, my hometown. And when I would come back sometimes for a weekend, I would go to the local bar in the small town and then come home and stand outside, maybe have one more drink, one more alcohol, and maybe one more cigarette. And so they knew that something was wrong. I was not following Jesus. But they didn't know the depth. They did not want to know, because it's very difficult to handle when your son. I have no brothers and sisters, so I was the only child. They had big hopes for me that I would follow Jesus, and I think they didn't want to believe what maybe was clear to other people. I told them when I was 28 years old. I wrote them a letter. And then things started to make sense for them, I think. They called out the pastor to the house, emergency, called the pastor to come to the house, and he read the letter. He had dedicated me as a baby. He's our pastor my whole life. He's still alive by the Lord's grace. And he cried, shed a tear when he was reading the letter, and prayed with them like he did every time we have a crisis in the family. And he left the house and pointed back to my dad and mom and said, "Don't look for this to be over anytime soon. This may be a long time. It's a very difficult struggle, very demonic, right? Satan is very active in the homosexual struggle. So it kind of gets a grip on someone. He convinces, deceives people to think, this is who I am. My feeling is who I am, cannot change. And then when you try to correct the person, they get very defensive. Do not tell me this is wrong. This is who I am. So it was, they went to war in prayer and fasting. They knelt down and husband and wife shoulder to shoulder and prayed for me, praying and fasting. And the Lord moved very powerfully, sent other people across my path, even though I lived far away. An evangelist on the street in the city of Pittsburgh where I lived singled me out of many, many people, hundreds of people, and stood behind me and tapped me on the shoulder in McDonald's restaurant and said, "If you died today, where would you go?" Just one example that awakened me that this is more than just my nagging family, more than just my family trying to get me to repent.
So that's good. Thank God for that. Thank God for saving your life. Praise you know, Lord. I want you to just explain to us, as a youth, is it easy for you as a youth to live your life without Christ or with Christ? How do you find it easy? Do you find it easy to live your life without Christ as a youth? Or you find it easy living your life with Christ?
Ooh, the Bible talks about the narrow gate and the difficult path. So the Bible says we'll endure much tribulation to enter the kingdom. So it's not, the Bible doesn't say that it's a happy, happy, every day, all day, every day, happy, 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 no problems. The Bible talks about a difficult path. So I wouldn't say it's easy to follow Christ. There's a lot of we wrestle against our flesh, against the world, and Satan, the god of this world. So there's a lot to fight against. But the difference is the enduring peace, the peace that passes understanding. Even when something difficult happens, we have peace that rises above the big problem, above the circumstance of life. And the joy that comes from knowing Him. Even in times of very, very difficult trouble, the Christian has joy that overflows, comes from the Lord. And so those things to me are worth so much more than money. Money cannot buy peace. Money cannot buy true joy.
Mm-hmm.
So praise the Lord. The
oh,
life
thank God, thank God.
Following the world is 1 hour happy while you're drunk, 2 hours, one night, but then the next day you feel horrible, miserable. And with Jesus, enduring peace and joy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So I want to ask you questions about your old gangs. Where are they today? Are they still in the United States, or so many of them are gone, or you can't even find them again?
My former friends.
Yes.
Yes. It sounds very difficult and maybe sad to some people, but in order to survive in my life with Christ, in following Jesus, I had to separate from my old friends. I could not be influenced by them and successfully follow Jesus, you know? If I were connected with them, influenced by them, they will continue to pull you back. You are gay,
yes.
That's who you are. You are just gay, you just live like, you know, the world is very, especially American society these days is very combative about this struggle. So I had to separate from them. Many of them are still around. I still see, come across folks through Facebook and things like that, and hear about folks, but not connected in such a way as close friendship for the most part. But try as much as I can to pray, and as the Lord leads, to try to be a witness to folks and lead folks to Christ.
Okay. So what do you have to tell those that are still practicing it and they are still in it and yet to surrender their life to Christ? What advice do you have for them?
Our temptation is not who we are. The orientation, what the secular world would call sexual orientation. They come up with these labels, gay and straight, and the Bible doesn't refer to someone as a certain label like that. God created male and female to be His helpmate, and the two are to become one flesh, and that's God's original design and plan, and anything else is a distortion, a twisting, a perversion of God's design. So it doesn't lead to fulfillment or enduring satisfaction. It's a quick thrill for 5 minutes or 1 hour, lasts very short, maybe 1 month or something. But in the gay lifestyle, often the men's relationships especially are very short. In Hollywood movies, it looks like they're so happy and everything, but in reality, very short relationships, usually a month or 2 months or 3 months at the most. To be monogamous, and then typically becomes an open relationship if the two stay together. So it's Jesus is the only way to enduring satisfaction, enduring peace. He's the only way to heaven. For all have sinned and fall short. We all have deceitful hearts. We cannot trust our nature, our feelings, to determine what's right and wrong, what's truth. We have to look to the inspired Word of God. Our Creator is the only one who knows what's best for us. Father knows best. So we can turn away from following our deceitful hearts and follow Christ into everlasting life and enduring abundant life here on earth. He has a better plan.
Okay, I want to ask you about your mission work now. In Cambodia, the policy of the country where you are now permit you to preach on the street and to preach to even those who are practicing gay over there?
From the beginning, 11 years ago, the Lord has led me in. Maybe it's because I'm called primarily to reach the LGBT, and it's very, very sensitive and there's a lot of trust, a lot of trust building that has to happen in order for someone to listen, usually. And so usually it happens through relationship building, earning someone's trust, trying to build a relationship, helping them do something or having common interest or something like that through the first conversation, sharing a little bit of testimony, then getting together for coffee another day and maybe trying to build that relationship and praying that the Lord will open the door to share the gospel. So usually it's one-on-one or one-on-two or one-on-three relational evangelism. And that was in the U.S., and that's what I do over here. That's how the Lord leads. So I don't usually do stand up on a platform in a public forum. I've seen people do that in Thailand, and that's okay over there. I'm not sure if that would be acceptable in Cambodia. There's freedom of religion here, but I've heard that kind of unofficially, the idea is that as long as you don't come against Buddhism, that's the primary religion, as long as you don't say that your religion is better than Buddhism. So, that's legally.
Okay, that was good. So how do you fund your mission work? How do you get the funding for your mission work?
We have supporters from the church back home. I'm from Pennsylvania, so most of the folks are in Pennsylvania. So the Lord provides through churches and some individual supporters, mostly in Pennsylvania.
Okay, I saw some of your book on Amazon. How many book have you published on your own?
Two books.
Okay, what are the titles?
The first book is Straight, an Ex-Gay Prodigal Story, and it's from my early childhood until repentance in 2010. It's my raw testimony. It's not a very long book, but it's a lot of scripture packed in, practical application of scripture to my story and what the Lord has revealed. And then it ends with repentance and the sinner's prayer and an understanding of the gospel at the end. And what does the Bible say about homosexuality? There's kind of a final part there that addresses what the Word of God has to say about homosexuality.
Okay, that was nice. I would love to have either two of your book or one of it in my library, so that I will with your autograph on it. So I will send my address to you, so you can send them to me, so that we can share with others, so that they can read also about you, and that will mark you as one of our guests on this platform, and will require you to write your brief story or testimonies that we can send out on our magazines. I will send you a copy of it on your email. You will see it. Then you can send your testimonies on the next publications. We'll publish it on the magazines about you and your testimonies, how God saved your life as a prodigal gay and back to Jesus Christ. And I want you to use this opportunity to tell others that are yet or struggling with such spirits or with such in their secret places, or maybe in their secret place, and yet to give their life to Christ. I want you to use this opportunity to minister to them, that you preach to them and pray with them to come back home, that Christ is really waiting for them. Can you do that now, Bro Matthew?
Sure. to share what would I say to someone in my shoes, right? That was in my former life.
Yes,
right
yes. Yes.
The gay lifestyle, the following the temptation, the lust, the ways of the world, what appears to be right according to Hollywood and secular society, and even some in the medical community now, it really doesn't go anywhere good. It's the path of destruction. The Bible says there's a narrow, difficult path that leads to eternal life, and the broad way that leads to destruction. And few find the narrow, difficult path. So, everyone will stand before the Lord on the day of judgment and give an account for every idle word. We're accountable. And Jesus has a better plan for those who are willing to repent and put their faith and trust in Him. He has abundant life and peace, enduring satisfaction. We read the Word of God. That's if we're sitting here thinking, I don't have any faith, I don't have faith in Jesus Christ, I don't even know where to start with that, then the best place to start is to start into the Word of God and read the Word every day. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So that's the best place to start. Don't trust your feelings and emotions, but trust the Lord at His Word. For someone who feels tempted towards suicide, that's very common. This is not the unforgivable sin. There is no reason that someone should commit suicide because they feel a temptation or an identity that makes them feel inferior or strange to somebody else. Jesus has a better plan. There is a way out. The temptation may remain after we repent and give our lives to Christ. That's okay. Sometimes the Lord doesn't take away the temptation right away, and that's okay. We continue to fight to follow Jesus, just like any other Christian. We're to deny ourselves and to follow Christ because He has a better plan. Every Christian, every born-again Christian, still struggles with some kind of temptation, whether it's lying or gossip or cheating or stealing or something. So we're no different. The one who struggles with homosexuality is no different. Called to repent and turn away from following their deceitful hearts to follow the Lord Jesus Christ according to His Word. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He created all things. He is our Lord and Savior. He died on the cross. He's the way that God provided out of this mess that we got ourselves into. And embrace Him. He loves you.
Okay, thank you. Now, I want to ask you a question. Here in Nigeria, we have some identity that we use to recognize those that are gay in Nigeria here. How do you recognize them before you minister to them?
This will sound very strange because I was in that lifestyle before. So you would think that I would always know for sure. And I don't always know for sure. So sometimes I'm convicted. Judge not lest you be judged, because I look at someone, I think, oh, I think that he has a struggle with homosexuality. Then I go to talk to him, I find out, I don't think I was right, I think I was wrong. So I don't know that it's always so easy. But for me, from living in the lifestyle, there are certain things that are common, most likely in Cambodia, just like in the U.S., the same over here, very, very different countries. But if you're looking for a higher percentage of people who struggle with homosexuality, probably look in the hair salons, the barber shops, the hair salons, the makeup places for women. That's where the Lord leads. I'm driving the motorbike through a small village, and I look over, I see a hair salon very often. There will be a guy there who's struggling with homosexuality, and I can pull in and talk to him and share my testimony. sometimes like a clothing store or something like that. Maybe it sounds very stereotypical, but if you're looking to witness to the LGBT, I think those are places to look.
Okay. Oh, I want to ask you, has Bube ever been arrested because of this mission work you're doing?
No. I mentioned before that there's kind of a government rule against comparing Christianity to Buddhism, and I do that because it's really required. It's very important that people not think that every religion goes to heaven, that all are the same. So I think it's very, very important to separate Christianity. Jesus Christ is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just doing good things. It's not the same as Buddhism, just do good and get good. It's that Jesus is the Savior who came to die on the cross for our sins, that paid the penalty for our sin, and the only way to get to heaven is to repent and put our faith and trust in Him. I am bad. I have sin. Jesus is good. He is holy without sin, and He's the Son of God. And he's the only one who can save me. So I repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. His blood washes over my sin, makes me righteous before God because he is good, not because I am good. So that's what I make clear for people here. And maybe if I get caught, it will be for that.
Okay, can you just tell us one or two difficulties you're facing in ministering or preaching the gospel in Cambodia?
Because I don't know about Nigeria, about the religions, but in Cambodia it is really 96, they say it's 96% Buddhist. So it's so predominantly Buddhist, and it's so ingrained in the culture, and everyone is so indoctrinated to be Buddhist and think Buddhist and have give offering to spirits, to demons, and things like that. And that's the biggest challenge, I think, is to go and share the gospel with someone and they say, "Well, that's okay for you. Jesus is the God of America. He's the God of the West. I'm Cambodian, therefore I am Buddhist, period." And that's challenge number one. And challenge number two, if I'm witnessing to LGBT in Cambodia, then the same idea. Interestingly, the same thing. I feel attracted to the same sex, therefore I am gay, period. I cannot change. And that's not true either. So those are the two mountains in evangelism here, to convince someone, no, gay is not an identity. It is not a death sentence. The teaching in Buddhism often is that it comes from karma, from a past life. That someone did bad things in the past life, and so they have been reincarnated as LGBT, as gay or transgender, and that's not biblically true. That's not true. So, it's a lot of trust. Trust is a
Wow.
big thing with trying to build a relationship because people look at me and they think, "Why are you coming to talk to me? Are you interested in me? This does not make sense," because Buddhist people do not evangelize. So it doesn't make sense to someone that you want. Why do you want me to worship your God? I don't understand that. You must be lying. You must be coming to hit on me or something. And then I say, "Well, I was gay before, but then I repented and believe in Jesus. I'm not following my heart anymore. I'm following the Bible." And the unbeliever does not believe that is possible. They don't believe in Jesus, so they don't believe it's possible. So it's a lot of breaking through trust, showing often the Lord leads to something like to show that you have good intentions, that you're not trying to do something to lie to them or something like that. So it's a lot of spiritual war.
Wow, that's a great job. Yes, it requires a lot of prayer.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
you
so
can't.
I thank God for your life. I thank God for your life. I want to ask you about your parents. Are they still in the United States?
Yes, they are. My dad's a little over 70 years old now, and my mom is in her late 60s. And they're still alive and healthy by the Lord's grace.
Okay, how old are you?
43. And you?
You said what?
And you?
Okay, I will be 40 by next year.
Almost the same.
Yeah. So thank God for your life and thank God for knowing you. I'm happy that God saves you. And this is your testimony, and I'm knowing it will go far because we're going to be sharing it on our podcast on Anchor and other platforms that we have podcasts. And I believe that once people begin to hear it, Christ and the Holy Spirit begin to touch them and convince them and restore them back home. I know it's not difficult to live in this world the way we are now, the way things are going, and even the governments are not encouraging it. They are enemies to the church in every country. And even here, we have our own persecution as a church. We're facing serious persecutions from the Islamists and other government organizations and other things. But we believe that by the grace of God, that according to what the word of God has said, the gate of hell will never prevail. Christ is coming sooner or later.
Amen.
To take us home. So we still have our hope in him, and we'll stand steadfast in Christ.
Amen.
I believe that God is going to strengthen you, empower you the more, and more wisdom to win more souls. And I believe one day, very soon, I will be with you in Cambodia to minister. And I pray that by the grace of God, God will keep us and keep you too. So what is your last word you want to tell our audience on this platform? What is the word you have for them before we go from at this moment?
I'm just so thankful to be on your podcast and to hopefully folks in your country will listen. I think that this is a struggle that so many around the world are dealing with now, more openly now, I think, than before. And I think it's good to talk about it and share testimony. The Lord has brought many people out of the gay lifestyle, and the more testimonies that are out there, the better off, I think. Better families will be able to fight against it, go to war in prayer and fasting. That's what we always say to families in the church that have son or daughter that went to the gay lifestyle. Go to war in prayer and fasting. That's what my parents did. That's what the pastor told them to do. And trust the Lord. It can be a long haul, but don't endorse the sin. Don't approve the sin. We love the child, but cannot turn away from the word of God. We cannot call it anything else but sin. So trust the Lord to break through. In my case, it was the 11th hour. So the Lord is faithful.
Thank God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for that. I'm happy for you. We'll be bringing it to a close. We'll be bringing it to a close on this meeting. And we remember that we're on season of change, transforming your life through the power in the word of God. I remind your host, Evangelist Jeremiah Joseph, and you are my guest here tonight is Matthew from Cambodia. He is born in the United States of America, but a missionary in Cambodia. Thank God for his life, helping him for the past 4 years, preaching and ministering to people who are gay. And God, through him, God is restoring them back home. I believe that once you listen to this podcast, you'll be able to share it to one or two people that you know that you're in the same challenges, struggling with this problem in their heart, which I know that through this testimony, God is going to save their life. Thank you, Bro Matthew. God will keep you. And I believe some days we'll still bring you back on this platform. And remember to sign your autograph on your books, your two books printed, and you send it to me, We'll put them in our library so that other people can read also. Thank you. God bless you. And I pray that God will keep strengthening you. And some days, God will take over Cambodia for you and for Christ. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. I appreciate you, your coming on this platform. May the Lord bless you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.